Yesterday, the Missouri Synod was organized in 1847 in Chicago. In the Constitution, we read, "Where private confession is already going on, there, according to Article 11 of the Augsburg Confession, it is to continue. Where it is not going on, the pastor is to work toward its introduction through teaching and instruction." And so, as heirs of all this today, we have our Christian Lehre as confession. Next Tuesday comes absolution with the keys. Today, confession. Can't not have holy absolution after confession, no matter what the dial of liturgy people may think. That is, if there's really been a confession. Confession is facing up to God with no fudging. Confessing it is with you as he says it is. You sinner. Yes, me sinner. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. Coram Deo. He says how it is. If you need some help, there are the Christian questions. Do you believe that you are a sinner? Yes, I believe that I am a sinner. How do you know this? From the Ten Commandments, these I have not kept. And if by question 20 you are still dodging, or can't claim that you have the appropriate feelings, then just believe what the Lord says. Galatians 5 and 6, John 15 and 16, 1 John 2 and 5, and if that doesn't do it, there's still the devil. Whose are you? If our hearts condemn us, he is greater than our hearts. It is with us as he says it is. Did you notice how the first dodge is cut off at the outset? The question was, are you a sinner? Not, have you done some sins? Well, yes, I suppose I have. Nothing too spectacular this week, although I did get very angry with my wife. All that money for a hat. Well, I ask you, even though it was Easter, and I must admit that the kids really do get on my nerves. And I know I should try to do better and spend some quality time working on our relationships. In this way, we take over the matter of our not doing so well, sorting out our sins and doing something about them. That's a bit more comfortable than Coram Deo, and it gives us some room to maneuver. You may have noticed how some so-called confessions deal principally with the second table, where we may suppose we have a better chance of calling the shots, we-ing and us-ing it along. Time reports that people, while you can't say they are seekers, they are in the seeking mode, and they are looking for places to get their needs met. Now, you can't really say that you have needs. You may have perceptions or feelings. And with Ted Koppel, you mayn't be expected to have anything more than a sense of something. A baboon can do that. If you slip from first table to the second table, then there's no stopping there. Slipping from Coram Deo, we slip from the first table, and so we suppose into arranging things in a more domesticated, privatized, me-centered, my family way, where we expect God then to be of such help as we may feel the need of. Now, it's no good just railing away at people. We are all together in an age, in a society which knows no sure points of reference. Many live in the lonely prison house of their own selves, and when there's nothing outside that you can be sure of, then there's nothing you can be sure of inside either. Truth is subjective, narrational, truth is relative, what's historical is relative, and there is nothing but what's historical. Wheel of Fortune, grab something if you can, and that's how the cookie crumbles. We recently heard Pilate ask, "What is truth?" At least Pilate still had the question, although he rejected the answer standing battered in front of him. But what of those for whom language has become incapable of truth-telling? Language, as it is fed to us by the manipulators and marketeers, goes on with only a tenuous, tangential connection with fact. Secular schools and universities, too. Harvard still has the antiquated word veritas with its shield. Just listen. Listen to how the language nowadays betrays us. Is it our language? Aristotle will help, and much more, your exegetical studies. What happens to human words when our Lord takes to using them to get through to us? Recently, there's been some momentary interest in Woody Allen's difficulties with his relationships, if not typical, at least symptomatic. The Washington Post, in reporting the case, quoted the 14-year-old Moses, not the Moses, Moses Pharaoh Allen. "Everyone knows not to have an affair with your son's sister." Words which the Washington Post observed were not inscribed on stone tablets. It was written in a letter to somebody he once called Dad. It stands in stark contrast to the rest of the bizarre trial being conducted in a dreary New York courtroom, under the strictures of the law and in the language of shrink ease. That once arcane vocabulary that has infiltrated our everyday conversation. Good and evil are now translated into appropriate and inappropriate. Right and wrong have become good and bad judgment. Woody Allen confessed, "I think I did make a mistake, an error in judgment." Moral relativism cannot make a confession. Confession is coram deo, and to do with sin, or better, with sinners. If you're not a sinner, why bother? And yet, for all the glib moral relativism, there is still some law written in the heart, in young Moses' letter, and it is there in the tables of stone of the Moses, the Ten Commandments, to which the Catechism directs us. God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain." All human words are by nature law words, and so when the Lord uses them, it's natural for us to hear law words, and that is right when he is using them to do a law job. But we draw a blank from our linguistic resources when he starts using our words to do a gospel-delivering job, as is utterly so in holy absolution. For our words, as our words, that is utterly impossible. Seminary is to stuff you full of his words. when what's law and when what's gospel, so that he can pull out of you, as he has promised to do, his words that he may have use of in the specific place with the specific persons, specifically sinners, that he may put you there for as his mouthpiece. How can you get people to listen to the Lord? Let him do the talking. Then you can ask, when you are ordained, as the confessor does in the small catechism, do you believe that my forgiveness is God's? Then there's no doubt of the delivery.